All right, in Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll just go over verse 7 again, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Father, I pray that you'll bless this time now, that you'll cause us to pay close attention to your word and to listen to your Holy Spirit as we look into what you have for us this morning from your word. And I pray that you'll speak to hearts. If there's anyone here not saved, Father, please save them today. Help them to see their need for Christ. And Lord, I pray that they would realize that they can come, they can be saved today. And I pray you'll speak to Christians, teach us, guide us, and to help us to be different because of today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 7, we actually covered that and preached on that on Wednesday night, talking about the grace of unity, and just a powerful verse, one that we don't usually think about a lot, but again, we're using the theme for 2013, for such a time as this. In each month, we have a different time. The month of January has been a time for unity. You see that on the bulletin, you see the clocks and different things, and so we're kind of winding down, though it doesn't look like it, because we're going all the way through Ephesians 4, but we will cover a lot of verses today, obviously, and then Wednesday, but we've talked about the glory of unity. The Bible says in chapter 3, verse 21, unto him be glory, and so we're giving God the glory, and that's what chapter 3 deals with, giving God the glory, and then it says, chapter 4, verse 1, I therefore, then everything in chapter 4 is based on let's give God the glory. And so unity is the subject of chapter 4, and I don't know of anything that gives God the glory anymore than unity, as far as what we can do as a group to have unity, and that definitely gives God the glory. So number one was the glory of unity. Last Sunday morning, I preached on the ground of unity, and that is found in verses 4, 5, and 6. Again, the word one, over and over, one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. And so the ground of unity, there's just one God, there's one way, etc., etc. Number three, we talked about the growth of unity. It started on that last Sunday night, and then tonight and Wednesday night, we'll talk about the growth of unity and how we can grow things that how God gives us many, many things in our lives that as we grow in the Lord, we will have these things, and then it will help bring about unity in whatever group. Again, we're not talking about just the church. We're talking about your home. We're talking about any group of Christians and what we do being able to work together. But especially, chapter 4 does deal especially with those institutions that God ordains, the church, the home, and etc. And then the fourth thing we talked about Wednesday night, the grace of unity, and it's God's grace. God's grace, and I'm not going to re-preach the whole thing, it would take too long, but God's grace is amazing. I love the song Amazing Grace. God giving us stuff, things that we don't deserve. And we find in verse 7, one of the things he gives us, and something he gives us, obviously gives us salvation. None of us deserve to be saved. None of us deserve to go to heaven. But God gives us eternal life. The gift of God is eternal life. And then the Bible talks about him giving gifts unto every one of us. To each of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And our grace is seen in the gifts that he gives us. Now, you know, there's a lot of things you can think about when you think about gifts, but there are individual gifts that God gives us, individual talents, individual abilities. Carol Poor sang just a little while ago, God's given her a gift, a talent to be able to sing. Debbie Hatt played the piano, and there she has a gift of music and be able to play the choir, so on and so forth, and many, many different kinds of gifts that we see in the church, and of course in the home as well. There are certainly gifts given, but the point I wanted to make when talking about God's grace is these are things God gave to us, all right? And these are gifts that God gives, just as salvation is a gift, and the gift of God is eternal life. Well, God has more gifts to give. In fact, the Bible says every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above, and it comes from God. And so God has so much more he wants to give us, and specifically he gives us, according to verse 7, he gives us, each of us, gifts, But they are not for us. Okay? Specifically, he says, in reference to the church, verse 11, he said he gave apostles, prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. And again, he's just kind of specifying some of the different gifts and talents. And we are not saved and given gifts to hide or hoard those gifts. We are saved and given gifts to use them. And to use them together, to use them in our body, this body of believers, and we're to use them for each other. Now, there again is the unity that is seen in Ephesians chapter 4. And so this message is entitled The Gifts of Unity. And I say gifts, and we're not even, I mean, there are so many, but we're mainly dealing with the idea of God giving gifts. We're not going to deal with all the gifts. There are so many kinds of gifts, but we have the idea of God giving gifts, and he has a reason for it. Again, it all goes back to if there is unity, if anything is accomplished for God, if a soul gets saved this morning, if somebody gets right this morning, if somebody's life is changed this morning, whatever may happen this morning, it's not because of any one person, it's because God gave us unity. God gave us gifts to work together to get the job done. Somebody drove a bus. Somebody visited a bus route. Somebody picked up that child. Somebody may have gone in and helped them get ready for church. Somebody may have dragged them out, you know, with a bowl of cereal in their hand and got them on the bus. And the bus driver drove the bus. And somebody led singing on the bus. And then they came in. They went to Sunday school class. And the teacher taught. And then they went to junior church. And the preacher preached. And then that child gets saved. And you see, there's a whole bunch of people involved. Somebody put money in the plate so we could have fuel for the bus. And all those different things. And we recognize God did not give us gifts. He didn't give us talent. He didn't give us ability for us. He gave it so that we could work with each other and use it for each other in unity as a team. And we've talked about teams and, you know, and all of that. Now, it's interesting. Verses 8 through 10. You know, this passage is such an exciting passage, and yet when you read it, you may not feel like you're excited. But wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first in the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And again, to explain this to you, you know, the idea is Jesus came from heaven, and Jesus lived a perfect life, and Jesus died on the cross, and Jesus rose from the grave, and Jesus ascended into heaven, and Jesus ascended as the victor, as the conqueror, and he did all of that, according to verse 10, that he might fulfill all things. He did everything that he had to do so that our sins could be paid for, so we could be saved, so he could lead captivity captive. He could lead them out of captivity, and he could free us from sin. He did everything he had to do. And the sign of victory, and this is what's so important, when a conqueror conquers, when the leader wins, when the commander, the conqueror, has a victory, after the victory, he then divides the spoil. He then looks at the allies and all those that helped in the victory, and he divides the spoil, or in this case, the gifts. And again, we're talking about a war, a battle, you know, an army, and the commander would win the battle, and everything taken out of that city, the treasures, the clothes, the food, the supplies, all of that would all be then divided among the allies to help them go and establish and maintain and protect their cities, their towns, their homes, whatever it may be. And so this little passage here in verses 8 through 10 is a wonderful picture of our commander, our conqueror, the one who won the victory, saying, now to prove my victory and to maintain, again, my victory, to show you, here's the spoil, here's your gifts. And he gives us gifts. All of us, he gives us gifts so that we can establish, maintain, and protect the assembly that he puts us in. Our city, if you will. Our place, if you will. And so the one who ascended, in victory. Hey, when Jesus ascended, it was victory. This isn't defeat. We're not talking about, oh, he died on the cross. We're talking about up from the grave he arose. And we're talking about he ascended into heaven as the victor. Praise the Lord. And he gives us, by his grace, he gives us gifts to help us establish, maintain, and protect our assembly that he's called us into, that he's called us out from this world to come into. And he's given us all gifts now. And so we get the spoils of victory. Hey, I'm free from sin. You are free if you're saved today. You're free from sin. And God gives you opportunity and ability to do something for him together. What a beautiful picture that is. Unified. And so the gifts of unity is, we're not going to deal with all the gifts. Some will be mentioned, obviously. But I want to deal with the purpose. And because I think it's so clear in this passage of Scripture as we deal with verses 7 through 16, the purpose of God giving us gifts. And again, imagine a conqueror who is, before he rides off, before he departs from the group, he says, now here's a chest of treasure for you, and here's this for you, and now go establish your city, and go maintain your city, and make sure you build walls and protect that city, and here's the supplies that you're going to need to do all those things. And God didn't leave us with nothing. God gave us gifts so we could do this thing. We have the gifts to run the buses. We have the gifts to go soul winning. We have the gifts to have a shepherd ministry. We have the gifts. God has provided us with the gifts that we need to do what we need to do in Lenawee County. It's so exciting to think about. And so you see the purpose. And I've got several things. First of all, he gave gifts to establish. Gifts to establish. In verse 11, he gave some apostles and some prophets. And then he goes on. But especially as you think about the apostles and the prophets establishing the early churches. I mean, it's exciting when you read about the Apostle Paul, his missionary journeys. What's he doing? He's going out. He's establishing churches. And the prophets are preaching. They didn't have the written word of God. And so the prophets would preach the word of God. And of course, we have the written word of God today. And praise the Lord for that. But they would go out and they would establish churches all over and in towns and cities and establish. Hey, listen, they weren't all alone. These apostles and prophets, they weren't without God's instruction, and they weren't without God's gift, because God gave them a gift. God gave Paul, you read about Paul, and Paul went into places and he established churches. And he went because, as the Macedonian cry, God said, hey, I'm going to let you hear the cry of somebody. And it's somebody that needs you and somebody that needs a church there. And the Apostle Paul would go, though it may not be the plan, but it was his plan. Why? Because God gifted him with that ability to establish. Again, Paul's missionary journeys, some of the most exciting reading in all the Bible, and the prophets and their preaching, and church planters today. You know, you talk about somebody with a gift, it's somebody that plants churches. Because it's somebody that goes in and starts a church and then leaves. And starts another church somewhere else and then leaves. I mean, it's a whole different world. The world of a church planter, it's like a missionary, like the Koreas. They have to go into a place and establish the church. And then, Lord willing, they go on and leave there and go establish a church elsewhere in Ireland. And again, that is a gift that God gave. It's not like somebody has to go figure it all out themselves. It's that God says, I'm leaving you with gifts. I'm gifting you. It's by my grace. I'm gifting you. Somebody, 70 years ago, this church started because God gave someone the vision, and he gifted those, that early group, to establish. We're going to have a church here, right here, to establish that church. And you know, the amazing thing, look at chapter or verse 16, and I know we're getting way ahead of ourselves, but we'll get there. But, you know, I love verse 16, even though, again, it's one of those verses that you just don't, typically it's not one of our memory verses, amen? But it says this, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. Do you understand? The putting together is his work. But he gifts those that will be the human beings that lead in that. The church planter, the missionary. But God sees who needs to be there to start this phase and this phase and this phase and to build and to build and to build. And God compacts it and puts it all together. So there's people that can sing. So there's people that can play the music. So that there's people, all the things that are needed when it is needed. And God establishes, he gives us the gifts. I mean, how many people will look, well, Brenda and I, you know, in 1983 started a church in Bern, Indiana. But we knew from day one, we don't even know what to do. But he did. And he just gave somebody a gift to get up and be a voice. And to say, here's what we're going to do. And here's this and here's that. And oh God, we need you to open this door. And he did. And God opened all kinds of doors. And people came. And it's like somebody came that could play the piano right away. And wow, we were lucky. No such thing. God's gift. God knows what he's doing. He puts it all together miraculously. When you talk about the gifts of God, we're not talking about, I've developed my talent. We're talking about God gave you. God gave you. Okay, you could develop and develop and develop some people, and as far as singing, and they'll never sing. Now, right, Dale? They'll never. Yeah, you could develop and develop and develop some people playing a musical instrument, and it's not going to happen. Some folks have no rhythm. You know, they just can't do it. It just doesn't happen. But you know, there's folks that do. And God has miraculously put that in them. It's a gift. And to establish, why? Because God wants churches all over. It's God's will that there be churches all over. I just wonder, because of man's sin, how many don't get started. Because the gifts are there to do it. Gifts to establish. Then, secondly, he gives gifts to evangelize. Notice verse 11. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists. Gifts to evangelists. Now, evangelist is someone who spreads good news. Amen? And specifically, the gospel, which is good news. Amen? I mean, that's what it is. That's the definition. It's good news. And it's that Jesus saved. It's about the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's the message that is given out so that when we hear it, we have a choice to make. We can decide whether to be saved or whether to stay lost. I mean, it's good news because it is the way to heaven. It's good news. It's the only way to heaven. It's good news because I get to hear it. It's good news because you heard it, amen? And praise God for those who evangelize. Now, the interesting thing is, all Christians are commanded to evangelize. Everyone. Every Christian is commanded to go. Go ye into the world and preach the gospel. What? The good news. Everybody. We should have tracts. We should have our mouth. We should have our New Testaments with it. We need to go out and tell folks about the Lord. But you know, it's interesting. By the way, all can go because they're commanded to go. Any can see people saved. Anybody can. Because it's God does the saving. But you know, let's be honest. There are evangelists. There are some folks just that are gifted. There are some folks that just, you know, they don't know a stranger. There's some folks, they just can, they you know, it's just the gift of God. Now, we're all commanded to go. And I wouldn't try to figure out if you have the gift. I'd just go and I'd just tell. But you know, God knew, he knew that if you're going to establish churches, you're going to have people in them. And so the gift, he gives the gift, the evangelist, to preach the gospel, to go out. And of course, in the early church, it's so easy to see this. But you know, the assembly has to have new converts. And there's nothing more exciting than new babies. Amen? There's nothing any more frustrating sometimes than new babies. But God gives gifts to evangelize our area. He's given it. We have it here. I'm just really nervous about that. Well, then go be a silent partner. Amen? Just go. Because God says to go, never, you say, well, I just don't have the gift of evangelism, but you have the command of God. And the truth of the matter is, I know a lot of people that it's very awkward, they have a hard time, and I've seen them lead people to Christ. And by the way, you're not in a race with anybody. You know what we are? We just need to obey God. Evangelize. Gifts to establish. Gifts to evangelize. Number three, gifts to equip. Notice verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints. Why does he give us these gifts? For the perfecting of the saints. Saved people. Why? What God says, hey, I want your city. The conqueror says, I want your city to be everything that it possibly can be. You've got the river there. You've got the trees there. You've got a place to farm outside there. He said, I want it to be everything. I want you to be the perfect little city that you can be. And he says to us as a church, he says, you know, I didn't leave you without instruction, and I certainly didn't leave you without ability. I want you to perfect everybody that's in there. To equip them, the perfecting of the saints. And so, it says in verse 11, pastors and teachers for perfecting. Pastors and teachers certainly help in this as a specific person. There certainly are others who do that, but it's equipping. It's perfecting. What's that mean for the perfecting of the saints? It doesn't mean that they're sinless, because we're not going to make anybody here sinless. It's not possible. If you think that anybody in here is going to become sinless here on this earth, you're wrong. It ain't going to happen. So don't expect anybody to be sinless. Amen. What's it mean, perfecting of the saints? It means bring them to their full potential. Get them to their full potential. Whatever their potential is, bring them to that point. By the way, that's all a person's accountable for. That's all we're accountable for. You say, oh, Brother Tim Cook, you know, he knows the accounting and all those kind of things, and he understands all that and understands computers and all that, and you know, he does a whole lot more in the church, but that's what he's accountable for. He better do all that. God gifted him to be able to do all that. But you're not accountable for that. What are you accountable for? Whatever you can do. She hath done what she could. God never required anything else out of her. The widow who gave her mites. Wiping Jesus' feet with tears. She did what she could. That's all they could do. What are you required? What you can do. And it's the group. It's the unity. It's the church. It's our job to equip. By the way, dads and moms, it's your job to equip your children. God's gifted you. If you're a parent, you are gifted to bring them to their full potential. Pity the parent that would say, well, I'm just going to settle for this for my kid. No, you should say, hey, I want them to be everything they possibly can be. That doesn't mean they're going to have an IQ of 150. That has nothing to do with you. It's whatever their IQ is, get it where it needs to be and use it as to the best, fullest potential they can be used. And so those we have all these gifts here, and we don't even know what all of them are. But all these gifts represented right here, Berean Baptist Church, and now it's up to us to develop all those gifts. Little children in the nursery, we need to develop them. Children that are over in the school, in junior churches, those gifts that they have, they all have gifts. And they need to be developed. Why? Because they need to be brought to their full potential. Because again, someday when they stand before Jesus, did you do what you could do? Did you do what you could do? Hey, Sunday school teacher, are you bringing them up to their full potential? Is that your goal? Or is it just get by? If it's just get by, get out. Because it ought to be, hey, these children that sit before me, these teenagers that sit before me, it is my job to get them to their full potential. And that's what you should be doing your very best at. Their gifts need to be developed. And therefore, we see the gifted using their gifts to develop the gifts in others. But again, why is it? For the whole body. Because we need each other's gifts. And when we get old and we don't have any teeth, we're going to need the wee people's gifts. Right? Because we're going to be too old. Amen. We are. And so shouldn't we be developing them? Amen. I mean, who's gonna teach us? Who's gonna come to the nursing home and sing for us? Amen. It's those little ones. And they have the gifts. Oh, they're just little teeny kids now. But and you say, oh, they're sure a pain. Yeah, but one of these days, they're going to be coming and visit you in the nursing home, you hope. Equip. God gives gifts to equip, to develop the gifts in others. And again, all of it is for the whole body. The body. Unity. The body. You see, God gifted a hand to be able to grab. Aren't you glad? Amen. What a blessing. God gifted a mouth to be able to eat. And so hand grabs food. That's kind of weird. Anyway, looks like maybe spaghetti. Anyway, maybe you'd use a fork. But hand grabs food and puts in mouth. Each has their own gift. This one grabs this one. Now, unless you're, you know, you eat like this, you know, most civilized people don't. But hand grabs food and puts in mouth, and mouth eats, right? And body digests. Amen. And all of it does different. It has a different function, but all of it's for what? The whole benefits. Isn't that good? Yeah. Yeah. And we need to be happy that the hand has developed so that it can get the food. And we need to be happy when the mouth develops so that it can eat. And we need to be happy, and we're miserable if the digestive system's not working right. Amen. And we need to be happy when everything works well because it benefits the whole body. Amen. So we need to equip. Amen. Isn't this good? And then number four. By the way, just this idea of developing. Luke 2, real quick. Luke chapter 2. And you know this verse. Luke chapter 2 and verse 52. Luke 2, 52. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. He increased. That should be our goal. When he was just a little baby and a little child, and then he increased in all those areas. Amen? And people were in helping increase him because that's God's plan. And so we look at a little child and say, wow, you know, look at that little child. They sure are a pain sometimes, and boy, they sure cause a lot of trouble. But ultimately, we should be increasing them in whatever area it is and helping to build them so that whatever gift they have, they use it. Because God put them here for that reason. I think it's awesome. And so God gives us gifts to establish. God gives gifts to evangelize. God gives gifts to equip. Number four, God gives gifts to edify. Edify. Verse 12, the second part says, for the edifying of the body, the whole body, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Edify means to instruct, to improve. To instruct, to improve. That's what edify means. Now, a lot of people think it means make them feel good. It doesn't mean that. Edify is instruction to improve us. Now, you know, we think that always is just saying nice, warm, and fuzzy things. Well, that's not all instruction is nice, warm, and fuzzy. You ought to hear a basketball coach instructing his team. You know, it's not typically warm and fuzzy. I mean, Miss Riley sometimes with her volleyball team, it's not always warm and fuzzy. But it's always to improve. And so as we think about, by the way, there's always, when there's always new people coming in, not everybody knows what's right and what's wrong. And so they need to listen over and over. And so there needs to be edification going on all the time. And God has to gift people to edify, to instruct, to improve morally. Because the Bible says in verse 15, it says that they, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him. The whole assembly needs to grow up and learn to do right. That should be the ultimate goal right there. Just, we need to learn to do right. I want to be used. Well, we're going to find out in a few minutes, God doesn't just use everybody. He would, but he doesn't. So I want to learn what is right. I want to learn how to be clean. I want to learn how to be usable. And edification, you know, the whole assembly needs this and also needs to do this, helping each other simply to do right. That's what edification is, instructing people to do right. Do you know every one of you has a follower? I don't know, you're a teenager. You have elementary kids that watch you. Moms and dads, you have followers, your children. You know, we all do. Grandparents, you have followers. All of us have, we have people that are following us. And somebody has to, you know, the Bible talks about rightly dividing the word of truth. What's that mean? Learn how to draw the line between right and wrong. Okay? Our biggest problem is we want a big gray area. Well, look, the Bible doesn't have gray areas. We just need to learn. Now, you know, somebody will draw their line here. Okay, well, don't be hard on them if you draw your line here. But the point is, somewhere along the line, we go, okay, this is wrong. Lying's wrong. Stealing's wrong. Cussing's wrong. You know, and we need to learn, okay, this is it right here. Because, again, we need to grow up into Him. That's edification. It's preaching. It's teaching in Sunday school. It's instructing. Hey, by the way, teaching people how to do right and how to not do wrong, somebody has to say what is right and what is wrong. You're going to have a hard time. Try teaching your kids right and wrong and not telling them what is right and what's wrong. Tough. Draw a line. That's edification. Edification says, okay, don't cross this line because that's wrong. Don't cross this line. And that's edification. But God gives gifts. There are people that can do that. Amen. And praise the Lord for so many that do edify the body. And then number five is gifts to exhort. Gifts to exhort. What's that? That's to urge. Literally, the word is to run alongside. So here's somebody running a race, and you're off on the sideline running with them. Come on, you can do it, you can do it, you can do it. And I often think the guy that's encouraging ought to be running the race too, because he's running alongside. But exhorting, to run alongside, to urge. The pastor does this a lot. It's almost like being a cheerleader, you know. Go, player, go, you know. And what's it talk about? It says in verse 13, it says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, till we all come. Bible says about the pastor, exhort with all longsuffering. Why would you have to have longsuffering? Because people fall down. And you got to say, okay, get up. You can do it. You can make it. Run faster. Do it. You know, you can do it. Oh, I don't feel good. No, you feel great. Come on, you can do it. And that's how it is. Thank God for so many folks that exhort. You know, it's the exhorters. It's people that urge. If you'd have been here down in the fellowship hall on Friday night, you'd have seen all kinds of exhortation. I mean, people were crawling on their knees, rolling balls and carrying golf balls on the tee and bouncing tennis balls with tennis rackets and crawling on their knees, and people were getting injured, and it was so exciting. And fans along the side, come on, you can do it, you can do it, you can do it. And people looked like, I mean, they were so silly. We got such good pictures. Oh, we got some good pictures, you know? But you know what? That's what we did down there to win a silly little game. That's what we need to do in life. That has to happen in life. It has to happen with everybody. Instead of looking for negative stuff to tear people down, it's to say, hey, you can do it. Why would we want anybody to fail? Why would we want a brother or sister to fail? Why would the hand want the mouth to fail? It doesn't. Our bodies know better. An exhortation. You ever cheer someone who doesn't want to run? I think about our cheerleaders sometimes, and they say, stand up, stand up, stand up. And people are... You can almost hear the guy, I don't stand for nothing. I ain't going to stand. Standing's hard. You know, but you know, they're up there, you know, doing their thing, and you know, and but that's how pastors feel sometimes. That's how parents feel sometimes. That's how exhorters feel sometimes, because you just cheer and cheer and cheer and you urge, and boy, it's like, I want to run, you know. But you know what? God puts enough people in here. Hey, some of you are exhorters and you haven't exhorted in years. God gave you the gift. Well, you know, I cheered and cheered and nobody would listen. You know, I thank God our cheerleaders keep cheering. I thank God. I've watched them sometimes. When I was coaching last year, I'd see them and they'd say, "Stand up, stand," you know. And you know, one person in the stands stood up. You know, everybody else. In fact, it's time to cross your arms. Not me. But, you know, and I know in church sometimes, you know, we're so afraid to raise our hand or stand because we'll have to do some job. But I'm just saying, you know, there are God, and he puts people here to exhort. Hey, some of you exhorters, it's time to take the tape off. Maybe not so harsh, and exhort. And encourage and cheer on and cheer on and cheer on and cheer on. Amen. Amen. I'm gonna start my own social media. I'm gonna call it Cheerbook. Amen. I am. And anybody that's not cheerful and doesn't cheer people on and exhort, they get booted. Glory to God. I always wanted to boot. But anyway, exhort. Gifts to exhort. Number six, gifts to educate. It says pastors and teachers. Verse 14, look what it says. By the way, we want you to get it. Verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. There are a bunch of turkey buzzards out there that like to ruin your life. You know, and we want you to get it. That's it. Educate, educate, educate. I want you to get it. It's not for my sake. There's no test at the end whereby if you pass, I get commission. No test at the end whereby if you pass, your Sunday school teacher gets commission. We just want you to get it. We just want you to get it. I mean, honestly, and the gift to educate is to say, I want you to get it for your sake. That's why Mrs. Potter is so successful in English. She believes in it. She thinks we speak English. I've heard some of you speak, and I'm not sure what it is you speak, but she thinks that's our language, and she believes in it. Oh, I got to know what an infinitive is, because it's what we do. We infinitive. Two, 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 two. Not two. Two. But, you know, she just believes in it. And you know what? I believe this book. I want you to get it. I want us to get it. I want us to, you know, it doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. I just, hey, do we believe this book? Do we get it? Do we know why we're saved? Do we know how Jesus came? Do we know he was born of a virgin? That's educate. It's to know. Why? Because there's a bunch of people, there's so many, there's cults and isms and schisms and every kind of belief and every kind of wacko kind of thing out there. And you know what? So many are children tossed to and fro. Just like the wind last night, you know? If you had your shovel on the porch like we did, it went all over the porch. You know, the wind got a hold of that thing and, you know, it's everywhere. That's a lot of lives. Tossed to and fro. You know, there's social media. There's the media. There's every kind of media. There's every kind of belief out there. Every kind of thing. Every wind of doctrine. But I don't want you blown by every wind of doctrine. I want you rooted. I want you with the roots down deep so when the winds blow, you might sway just a little bit like a tree, but you're not going to crack. You're not going to be blown around. You're not going to be blown around like a ping pong ball. Amen? You're going to be solid and firm. Hey, I don't care what everybody else does. Here's what I believe. I've been educated in the Word of God. Because they're lying in wait, the Bible says. They are. They lie in wait to deceive. And there's so much deceit in our world today. Cunning, craftiness, Satan, the wiles of the devil. And you know what? The only way to help those little children as they grow up is educate them. Teach them the truth. Teach them the truth. Educate. Gifts to encourage. Number seven, gifts to encourage. Verse 15, speaking the truth in love. You see it? Verse 16, right at the end there, it says, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love, encouraging one another. Yes, we are commanded to love. Some folks are just, they're just gifted. to encourage, to love people. By the way, you only encourage people because you love people. You're not going to be, they see through fake. But boy, there are some people that just, they just encourage. I've got people here that you wouldn't necessarily, you know, if you had to pick out, okay, who encourages you the most? There's people here in the church that are my encouragers, and it's amazing. God's just gifted you. I mean, you just say the right things. You are really an encouragement, and we all need encouragement. But here's the thing. You know, you say, it's a little awkward for me to encourage. Okay, well, then decide to do this then. Decide never to be a discourager. Never be a discourager. Never drag somebody down. You say, well, I'm down. I want people with me. How selfish. You know what? If you're down, find somebody that'll lift you up. Because I promise you this, nobody should discourage. The Bible does say speak the truth, but it says this, speak the truth in love. Sometimes truth hurts, but if you speak it in love, the truth will do it will do what it's supposed to do, and that is educate and teach. Gifts to encourage. We have them here. They're here. We have enough. Listen, we have the established, gifts to establish, gifts to evangelize, gifts to equip, gifts to edify, gifts to exhort, gifts to educate, gifts to encourage. And then we have gifts, number 8, to employ. What's that mean? Well, that's the pastor. That's organizers, I call them. In verse 16, it says this, is from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according. Wow. That sounds like quite a diagram, doesn't it? And there is the miraculous part of God, but then there is the employing part of humans who have to organize. It's a pastor who is an overseer, a bishop, the Bible says. And others who are organizers. What's that mean? They spot gifted people and they plug them in. That's an exciting thing, isn't it? They spot gifted people and they plug them in. They employ them in the work of the Lord. It's more than finding a breathing human to get the job done. It is finding the person that is the right person to get the job done. You know, sometimes people, well, anybody can do it. Yeah, but I'm never satisfied with anybody can do it. I always like, who do you have for it, God? Because it's going to be done perfect, and they are going to be absolutely thrilled. Because it's what they're here for. It's more exciting when you think about the right someone. I don't know how many times I've had people say, well, I don't have any talent, I just help people. Did you know that there's a gift of helps? Yeah, look it up. 1 Corinthians 12:28. Write that down. The gift of helps? Yeah, it's a gift. Just a gift that God gives to help people. Employ. Gifts to employ. See, again, it's all unity. It's God. It's not man. Yeah, I think of Dolores. Dolores is she told me the other day, a month ago, whatever it was, that she's an organizer. And she is. She has to be. She has, look at her family. Yeah, a lot of people. And you got to organize them. You know, you do this, 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 I'll do this. And you got to be able to do that. And she talked about, and it is. There's some people that couldn't organize anything. But that's okay. Because God has the people here that can. Praise God. Don't you marvel at how God puts it all together? Honestly, there is no organization like the New Testament church. None. None on the face of this earth. It should not work. The only reason it does work is God. To Him be the glory. But I'm telling you, the gifts to employ are here. Number 9, the gifts to enable. What's that mean? Verse 16, it says this, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to, watch this word, the effectual working. Effectual working. Okay, we don't, in a church, it's not like a business where the finances dictate and show you everything. It's spiritual. The effect, we want there to be effect. Okay, we want something to happen. We want lives to be changed. We're not here just to be big. Has nothing to do with it. It has everything to do with lives being changed. with souls being saved. We want to be effective for His work. Are you all with me here? And so there have to be gifts to enable. What's that mean? To make every part usable. The effectual working. Now again, well, I'm living and I'm breathing. Oh, yeah, but wait a minute. God has certain specifications. Now, watch this. We are His workmanship, Ephesians 2. We are His workmanship. Watch this now. Created in Christ. We're created. We are created to do whatever He wants us to do. Isn't that exciting? I mean, when I got saved, God created me to do anything He wants me to do. There's nothing He wants me to do that I can't do. He made me right. He made you right for what He wants you to do. That's awesome. Created. Everything's just right. But you have that effectual working. What's that mean? Well, He doesn't always use everyone. Well, why wouldn't He? Well, look at 2 Timothy 2, verse 21. I'm just about done. So you can start thinking about lunch. Amen. But not totally. 2 Timothy 2, verse 21. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Now that's when a man purges himself from sinful things. Then he will be a vessel meet. The word meet there means fit. Fit for the master's use. And so the master, just like you, if you go into a buffet and there's a stack of plates and you grab the first plate and there's a chunk of something on it, I'm sure it was good a day or so ago. But you take it and you set that one aside, right? You go to the restaurant and you grab a fork and there's green on the fork. Typically, you don't lick it off and say, now I can use it. You set it aside. And when God looks at His vessels, if He sees a smudge, a smear, dirt, He doesn't use. Now, that doesn't mean they're not a body, a person in a position, but they're not effectual. Are you listening? And more important than anything else is not just a living, breathing person filling a spot. It's we want to be effective. We want something to happen. And that word effectual is so crucial. And so there has to be gifts to enable people. What's that mean? To equip and educate, yes, but also to enable them so that they are meet, so that they are fit for God to use. Because God's not going to use a dirty vessel. And here's the thing, and this is so exciting about God's working. None of us are perfect. But all of us should be clean. What do you mean? 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And when you do something for God, you come before the laver. And the laver, of course, in the Old Testament, it was made out of the mirrors of the people. And it was made so that you could look for every smudge, every little bit of dirt before you go into the holy place, which, by the way, is also the holy place of service. Again, we're back to the word of being effectual. I don't want to just go through motions religiously. I want to be effective. And you check for every smudge and every bit of dirt, and you've just been walking out in the courtyard, and you've been dealing with slain animals of sacrifice. There's blood, there's guts, there's everything around, and you come to that laver and you want to wash off before you go into the service of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. And that's why the preaching is the preaching. It's to try to get everyone to be effectual. It's to enable. Because none are perfect, but all should be clean. Isn't it amazing God knew that there would never be a priest that didn't have to wash up first? And there's never a person that doesn't have to wash up first. That's what the altar is all about, folks. That's why we have altar call. That's why we have invitations, because we want people to understand that we all, if nothing else, yeah, you don't have to come to, you can do it in your seat, you can do it in your home. I've gotten right with God in every kind of place imaginable. I've gotten right with God, talked to God. I pulled the car off to the side of the road and prayed and asked God to forgive me. And many of you have done the same thing. But we should always know that there is, and be reminded day in and day out, we got to clean up. I want to be effectual. I don't want to just go through the motions religiously. None are perfect. All should be clean. And so we see gifts to establish, gifts to evangelize, gifts to equip, gifts to edify, gifts to exhort, gifts to educate, gifts to encourage, gifts to employ, gifts to enable, and the last thing, gifts to expand. Oh yeah, God made it so that the church could grow. Verse 16, it says, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. By the way, if it's not effectual, it won't. Nothing will happen. Oh, men can build all kinds of things, but I'm talking about God building something. And he says, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Maketh the increase of the body. It means altogether growth. Isn't it interesting? And I close with this because God closed with it in this passage. Expansions last. In our day, bigger's better, but God puts expansion last. You ever think about that? It's interesting. There is a book of Numbers. God is always interested in numbers, but expansion is last. All the things he mentions about our church and the gifts that he gives, this one's last. The increase. Why? I thought about that. I dwelled on that quite a bit. It's because the best, longest-lasting growth is when you build on a solid foundation. And the solid foundation is all this other stuff. That's the solid foundation. The best, longest-lasting growth is when you have that solid. You build on a shaky foundation, it's all going to fall down. But you get a solid foundation. And I'm telling you, honestly, as I looked at these things, I thought, this is how it ought to be. So you get the glory, God. This is how it ought to be. All I see is people just really working together to get the job done. It doesn't, and it's including all those little babies. They're so important. Yeah, because we train them up. But a solid foundation to build in the unity of the faith that God talks about here. The gifts are all here. The only thing that I didn't say is the idea that how many aren't being used? How many are not being used? And if there is a flaw in a home, in an organization, a church, it's because some of the gifts that are here are not being used. But everything is here because the conqueror, he ascended, and he left us exactly what we need. Exactly what we need to do what he wants us to do. Let's bow our heads, please.